You're listening to the CD Baby DIY Music Podcast. Hello, and welcome to the CD Baby DIY Music Podcast. My name is Kevin, I'll be your host for the show, and this is episode one. So it's very exciting to get the podcast launched and have the first episode posted on the web for you. And being that it is the first installment of our podcast, I thought it would be good to take a little time and give you an introduction as to who we are and what this podcast is all about. So just in case you're not already familiar with CD Baby, CD Baby is an independent music distribution company. You can find us on the web at cdbaby.com. And basically, we just help independent artists, musicians, and bands get their music out to the world. We're a very artist-driven company, and we've really enjoyed building a relationship with the indie music community over the years. So the idea of a podcast just seemed like a natural extension that would flow out of that relationship. With each episode, our plan is to have an interview segment where we'll talk to an artist or industry professional, covering topics such as booking, promotion, and even things like copyright law. And then we'll follow that interview with a roundtable discussion segment where a few of us will share thoughts, ideas, and opinions as it relates to that topic. The roundtable portion of the show is also intended to be a forum for you to share your ideas and opinions. So that means we want to hear from you. You can contact us at podcast@cdbabypodcast.com, which brings me to the next item I want to draw your attention to, and that is that the podcast does have a permanent home on the web, and the address is cdbabypodcast.com. On the website, you'll find all the latest episodes, along with show notes, important links, and you can even listen to the show right there from the website. But what's even better, and the cool thing about a podcast, is if you open your iTunes player or any other podcatching software and subscribe to the show. That way, anytime there's a new episode, it will automatically download to your computer and be ready for you to listen. Well, that concludes my introduction to the show. Coming up next is our very first roundtable discussion segment. All right, so we've come to our roundtable discussion time of the podcast. And this portion of the show is just really intended to be a forum where thoughts, ideas, and opinions will be shared. In most cases, related directly to the topic covered during the interview segment. But since we didn't have a guest for this show, we thought it would be fun to share some of our musical mistakes in hopes that you will learn from our errors and not be doomed to repeat them. So joining me now is Chris and Robert. Hey, guys.
Hey, what's up?
This is Robert.
This is Chris.
So who wants to go first? Do you guys want me to go first? Or?
Sure.
All right. Well, first of all, my list of mistakes was very long, so it was hard to narrow it down to just a couple to share. But
that's funny because I didn't have any mistakes.
Really?
I don't.
So I guess the first and biggest one I think I made as far as with releasing an independent album was planning the CD release show before I actually had the CDs in hand. And that seems to be one I hear musicians making over and over again.
Even people that work here are still doing it.
So basically, I had a show that was about 2 months away. I was still in the process of finishing up recording. And I thought, oh, that'll be the perfect show to be the CD release party. It was at a college. And I thought, that's exactly the market we're going for. And it turned out things got delayed, as they always do with tracking a CD. And we spent the whole time leading up to the show running around like chickens with our heads cut off. And we actually picked up the CD that day of the show. And surprising, there was little turnout at the show since we had no time to actually promote the show.
Whose fault was it? The manufacturer?
It was. They said, yeah, we could have it no problem by that date.
Never trust a timeline.
Yeah, and apparently they didn't send it out in time. I also found out that the manufacturers, most of them send their work out down to like LA to actually do the pressing, and they did it once a week. They would make that shipment, and ours missed the shipment. Yeah. So, but they did in turn give us 150 free CDR versions of the CD, which we picked up that day. So we only had those for the show. And
but luckily there were only like four people at your show.
Yeah, so it really didn't matter anyway. At that point, it was I just wanted to go home and take a nap. That's all I really wanted to do. So how about you guys? What do you guys got?
Well, a similar thing was at the top of my list, which is just don't be in a rush. I can think of two CDs I've put out where you put so much work into making this thing, you're excited about the music, you want people to hear it, but you don't take the, you know, 3 or 4 months sometimes that you really should to get it to radio, to get it to press, to book a tour, take my time booking a really good CD release party, and the end result was that less people got the chance to hear it. And it's kind of a cheesy saying, but it should be a perfect storm of all those things coming together to make it a really good event.
That seems to be the case with artistic types in general. We're really excited about getting our our art out there, and we just can't be patient and just want it to be out now. And it's just like, just wait. It'll be much better if you just take the time, wait till everything's done, and then move on to the next step.
And there's also the antithesis where you have the artist that's so detail-oriented and takes so much time that they never finish anything and never release anything to begin with. So you have to kind of balance it out.
I think I've turned into that artist. But yeah, it really is. It's the only opportunity you're going to get to have the light shone on you until you make another album, which could be years away. So might as well seize the day with it.
One of the mistakes that I made early on that probably, you know, a lot of people make is that it became so important for a while, me and my brother, who were both playing music, to get the equipment that we fantasized about and to, you know, have the right person record us and have the right equipment to record us with. And sometimes I think that it's easy to forget that you can make music with just about anything, you know, that like really using the tools to the best of your ability that you have is probably going to teach you a lot more than, you know, getting the biggest and the best equipment and, you know, making do with what you have and the resources that you have can be really advantageous.
I fall into that trap all the time. If only I had that pedal, I would be so good at guitar. And it's just like, why don't I just practice?
Yeah. Well, and a lot of the great recordings have four tracks or kind of crappy sound, but it's just as long as you can make it work with the vibe, then.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just people get really creative with what they have. I mean, the more limitations an artist has, the more creative they have to be in order to create great art.
And I've discovered over the years that there's people who are musicians, and then there's people that just like to buy gear.
Yeah.
And it seems like
most of the musicians can't afford
gear. Yeah, most musicians can't afford gear. And it's just funny. I'll have friends that are musicians, and I'll be like, no, actually, what you really like is just to buy gear, which is cool, but you never play any of those things.
Maybe I could get them to buy it for you.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I think I've got a gear magazine in every room in my house.
That kind of leads into another mistake I made as far as like taking my focus off actually practicing. When after the project was done, it was that same one where we totally botched the release show. You know, a couple months later, trying to put together a band, really trying to get things going. And about 6 months, 7 months down the road, I realized, you know, I'm spending all my time making posters, making phone calls, writing emails, but I'm rarely actually practicing my guitar anymore. And that was kind of I realized I'm actually getting worse through this whole process.
I think Derek, the founder of CD Baby, sent out an email about that to CD Baby artists, just noticing a trend of people putting way too much effort into the computer aspect and the virtual aspect.
I'm guilty.
Get away from what's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Especially with all the things out there, it's like, it seems like there's a new website every day. Well, now I got to get my band listed on this site. And it's so easy to just spend all your time every day listing your band on that website, on this website, making sure that page looks good, and designing new posters, new promo materials. And it just seems like a never-ending cycle. And finally, I just had to say, enough. I want to play guitar. That's what I want to do.
Yeah. You want to get out there and in front of real people and play your music, because there's so many people on the internet just vying for a little piece of the pie that, you know, you can just get wrapped up in it.
My next thing on the list, getting wrapped up in things, not so much wasting time, but wasting mental energy on worrying about that you're being endorsed by the right papers and the cool local weekly and getting on the right blogs, and are you officially sanctioned? Are you hip? And when you worry about that stuff, it destroys the fun of it. It destroys the music you're making, because really, you should be your own judge. You should be making music for yourself, and you can't cheat yourself. If you don't like what you're doing, you're the first to know, so you can change it. But just worrying about those high and mighty people that are going to bless you with their praise, it's total waste of time. And if you love what you're doing, everyone else will follow you.
Yeah. And press can be good, but you know, I've been in that situation where you're playing to a full room, all these people are excited to see you, but yet you're angry because you got a bad review somewhere. Mm-hmm. And it's like,
it destroys the whole
thing. Yeah, that doesn't even matter who you're playing to. You're playing to that room of people that are excited to see you. Forget what the guy at the newspaper said. You know, he probably doesn't like music anyway, so.
And he's going to be out of that paper in 6 months and working at McDonald's, so there'll be another guy that'll write about your music.
Yeah.
I think that focusing on that group of people that are in front of you when you do play is so important, and that's also one of the mistakes that I've made in music is becoming so obsessed with how people think of my band and my music and my image and everything that I'm doing up on stage, and forgetting that the reason why I'm up on stage is to entertain the people that are here to see me play, or here to see my band play, or listen to my music.
Yeah, and you just have to be basically honest to the vision you want to create. And I think audiences usually will give you the benefit of the doubt. You know, you don't have to condescend to them or anything like that. You just do what you do, and they'll warm up to it, hopefully. And there's no use in sort of chasing the modern sound, because in, you know, a year from now, when your album comes out and you tried to sound like Radiohead, no one's going to like Radiohead anymore. Now it's on to the next thing. So you should always just do what you want to do.
Totally.
Yeah, and I think with that, a lot of musicians and bands will fall into the trap of seeing something that is working for another band and trying to emulate that when it's really not them. You just come off as being not genuine and awkward a lot of times. And I think people just need to assess how, in their most natural way, can they connect with people through their music and their show.
It's definitely, you're going to be a lot more successful if you find what's cool about yourself and what things that you can bring out and entertain people with.
Another mistake I have on my list is not having enough songs before actually trying to go out and put together a band and book shows and just get the whole package going. I remember booking a show, it was like 6 months out. I thought, oh, by then we'll have 4 more new songs, 5 new songs. We'll be able to play an hour and a half, no problem. And then we pull in with our 45-minute set. That's with long pauses. And I'm going, oh man, we just got to get more songs. And then just kept falling into that mistake over and over again. And I think it kind of goes with what we were talking about, not being patient, just not taking one step at a time. Start with this, you know, we need at least 15 songs. Once we have that, we'll move on to the next step. If we don't, then we're kind of stuck there.
You should have come to me at the time, because I've got songs to kill. It's funny, on my list, it was too many songs. I think I'm blessed and cursed by being super prolific, and I'm playing in 3 bands, and I write for all of them. And the downside to that is I think it dilutes my brand. I hate to say it, but you want to give people, when you're coming up, a sort of clear vision, something that they can grab onto, and then when they hear your name down the road, they know exactly what that is. But even within one project, I'll be trying to keep it diverse, lots of different kinds of songs, and I'm learning slowly. But I think it's tough to give people that clear brand when you're
for sure
spreading yourself so thin that way.
Yeah, writing songs for 3 bands, you're crazy.
And trying to get 3 bands off the ground at the same time is just, that's another thing I probably should have rethought from the start. And
mistakes we're making now.
this is really just a therapy session for Chris. That's an intervention of sorts. Another thing I had on my list, not shopping around enough before actually recording a record. I knew a friend that was a really good engineer, and he had done a lot of records in town, and kind of just, you know, went with him. And when it was all said and done, if I had done a little more homework, I could have gotten probably a much better deal using him and somebody else, or, you know, different combinations. I ended up having to put everything on his timeline because he was working on another project at the time, and basically had a day. Everything had to be done by this time because he was leaving town for like a month or two. And so it caused a lot of stress. I don't think some of the tracking came out as good as it could have, just because I just had that deadline in the back of my mind that it has to be done now. And even if I didn't know what part to play right here, play something and move on because it has to be done. And
at the same time, I think there's really a good side to those kind of deadlines too, though, because in my case, I know that if I don't have a deadline, I'll take forever. I'll rework things. I'll second guess myself. I'll take tracks from one studio and see what someone else can do with them. So it's good to have something to shoot for at least. And, you know, like I said before, don't be in a total rush. So if you're not satisfied with it, take your time.
In our new digital age, it's becoming a bigger problem for indie artists to let go of a project. You know, you're doing it on a computer. You have access to the files at home. And it used to be, you know, you paid money, you went into a studio, and you ran out of money. Record's done. There's nothing else you can do about it. But now people seem to want to dwell on that. They release the CD, then they're like, I've got a couple $100 more. I want to get it remastered. And they get it remastered and re-release the same CD again. And it's just like, at some point, you got to move on. You got to say, okay, it's done. It's time to move on. I know I could make those songs better, but it's time to write new songs and build off of that instead of reworking what's been done in the past.
In the 50s and 60s, people would just go in and nail out these hit songs in a day, less than a day. 3 hours for, you know, some Roy Orbison hit. And
because they played their tunes 5 nights a week, you know?
Right, they were prepared. And the recording technology is better now. So if you did this, you should be able to do the same thing.
Exactly.
I think the last thing on my list that I had written down was straying from the original goals that I had set out to accomplish with the music I was writing. At the time, I was just hoping to focus more on just licensing my tracks, you know, maybe trying to get some TV placements, movie placements, go totally along that line. And for some reason, it just fell into a band thing and just kind of snowballed into something completely different than what I'd set out to do. And at the end of the 2 years, I kind of sat down and went, huh, that wasn't what I meant to do.
Wow.
And I think it's important to have some goals just so you can kind of shoot for something. There's so much media out there and so many different places that music is used that you can end up just grasping a whole bunch of different straws and accomplishing nothing. And I think that was kind of what my problem was. Instead of staying focused and going, I know I can get some shows and play and you know, these people would like the music or those people would dig it, but that's not what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, not to sound like a motivational speaker or some self-help guru, but I think it really does help to write that kind of stuff out. When I have written out either a mission statement or an agenda or just a list of things to do, it gets done, and I stay focused when I see it every day, every time I sit down at my computer or whatever. So,
I think it is good. I think for some reason, a lot of musicians and bands, they feel silly for writing that stuff down, or they feel like, oh, that's stupid. We're going to be famous. You know, that's our goal. But it really, having those goals written down really does kind of build in some stepping stones so you can see, okay, my goal is to sell 1,000 CDs by the end of the year. How am I going to do that? You know, and check everything against those goals. Well, that has nothing to do with selling CDs, doing that over there. So why am I doing it? You know, those goals just help you stay focused on what you're trying to do.
Yeah, rather than looking at it as this sort of insurmountable, endless pile of tasks that's going to keep coming at you until you're buried under it all.
So that wraps up just a few of the mistakes we've made. So
right, there's lots to come. So stay tuned. Yeah.
Well, even though we've talked about them, we'll still keep making them. It doesn't matter. Well, we made it through our very first podcast. But before we go, I just wanted to send out a special thank you to Andrew Bolton, who did all the design work on the website and also did the logo for us. We really appreciate the time he put in on that. And I also wanted to thank Chad over at hostbaby.com. He helped us work out a lot of the technical side of the website, so we appreciate the work on that too. And lastly, I just want to remind you, we're on the web at cdbabypodcast.com. You've been listening to the CD Baby DIY Music Podcast, broadcasting from Portland, Oregon, USA.